From time to time, we're featuring interviews with our contributors who regularly comment on music, films, books, popular culture, and language trends. Today, we'd like to introduce you to our language commentator, Jeffrey Nunberg. Each week, Jeff talks about common expressions and changes in our language and puts it all into a social and political perspective. On Fresh Air, he's discussed subjects ranging from the overblown language in our national anthem to 60s jargon that has survived into the 80s, and his own personal struggle with wording the outgoing message on his telephone answering machine. Jeff is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the American Heritage Dictionary. I asked him to describe the role of a linguist.
Linguists are people who think about language all out of proportion to what language requires, perhaps. They're people who are obsessively interested in language, the way language is used to communicate, the history of languages, the underlying structure of languages that people mostly learn without even having to think about it.
A lot of people assume that linguists see themselves as the enforcers of the language, the people who make sure that you're using proper usage and things along those lines. I don't think that's how you see yourself by any means.
No, I think that's a terrible misconception. Linguists, for the most part, are really not interested in questions of good usage. Actually, I am, but I'm odd for a linguist in that way. Most linguists think that language is so deep and so basic and learned so early that the things the grammarians get after, the Sapphires and the Simons, really are just superficial things that really don't matter.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the people like Edwin Newman and William Sapphire, who almost see themselves as defenders of proper usage and defenders of the English language as we know it?
Yeah, I think that it's a terrible, awful, oppressive way of thinking about language. It really gives the language a bad name. It becomes a club for hitting people over the head. I'm cultured, I'm sophisticated, I know all these things and you don't. And it's really an awful way to turn people off language and to make people think that language is in some way a minefield rather than just a wonderfully interesting field for study and lucubration.
Luca who?
Lucubration. Reflection. I don't know.
What got you interested in and even obsessed with the English language?
You know, I really don't know. A lot of linguists are people whose parents spoke another language or who had some curious experience moving from one country to another when they were kids. But I just grew up in New York City, and I don't know where I got it from, but I had it all my life. It wasn't until later in my life that I realized that was what I actually wanted to do.
Well, growing up in New York, you were probably surrounded by a lot of really interesting ethnic dialects, regional accents, foreign languages. Were you aware of that when you were growing up?
I think so. New York's a wonderful place for that sort of thing. So is Philadelphia. Out here on the West Coast, actually, I sometimes miss the wonderful accents. Here it seems like everything's homogenized and come to rest by the Pacific.
What are some of the things that you did along the way before becoming a linguist?
Oh, my. Well, I went to college, and I dropped out of college and went to art school, and I realized there that I was basically a word person. I went back to college. I took a wonderful course in linguistics, and I thought, this is it. This is what I want to do.
So you dropped out of college to go to art school. It's interesting you drop out of one school to go to another school.
Yeah, I know. Even then, it was clearly written for academic life. I was going to art school, and I was writing for magazines like We Magazine and Screen Stars and Screen Gems and things like that. And at that point, I realized I was a lot better at writing and words than I was at art. So,
Someone told me that you used to write for soap operas. Is that true?
I don't know where you found out about that. I wrote a soap for NBC for about a year. That was back in the days. We just thought it was sleaze. We didn't know it was politically incorrect to write those things.
Now you know.
Now we know better, yeah.
Well, when you were writing soap operas and when you were writing for the screen magazines,
right?
Did you start writing in a language that you didn't really speak, that you weren't really used to using?
I can remember trying very hard to get Middle American language at that time, and we had a rule on those shows that you could use a line only three times. So, Steve, I'm going to have your baby. You're going to have my baby? I'm going to have your baby. And then you couldn't say back, I'm going to have your baby.
You would do things like that to fill time in the
soap opera? Fill time, sure. What? Who knew?
One of the things that you do now as a linguist is monitor new expressions and keep track of how slang expressions from the past are holding up. Have you ever indulged in speaking slang yourself? In the 60s, for instance, did you use terms like far out and chick and dude and crash and split?
Yeah, all but dude, I think. Oh yeah, yeah. I use slang and I use slang now, and I think slang is terrific. It's hard to follow now. I have a friend who keeps me up on what's going on in the high schools and tells me that Burnouts is moving out in favor of punk or Jellyhead and so on. But it's really hard to keep up with.
You must be very self-conscious, though, when you add a slang expression to your vocabulary, because you're doing it more consciously than, say, a teenager who's coming of age would do it. Teenagers tend to naturally add new words to the vocabulary like that.
Well, I think they're pretty self-conscious about it, too. I can remember when I was going to high school, we had about 78 words for breast. And most of these words existed solely so that we could have all these different words for breast. We use them in this very self-conscious way. I don't think anybody ever used them in earnest.
Do you ever groom your vocabulary to weed out the slang expressions that you think have gotten too dated?
No, in fact, sometimes I groom it the other way. I think, oh, gee, this is a terrific, let's bring back swell, or let's bring back nifty, right? Nifty's a great word.
Now, one of the hats that you wear is usage editor of the American Heritage Dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
Which means what, that you're the one who oversees the description of how a word is going to be used in a sentence?
Or how, which words are correct and incorrect and what's proper and improper, all those things that I was calling oppressive a few minutes ago. we have a panel of about 150 writers that range from Louis Auchincloss to Francis Fitzgerald to Cynthia Ozick. And we send them a questionnaire. Well, I've just been making up these questionnaires, in fact, and ask them, well, what do you think of this word? We just ask them, for instance, about Holocaust. How do you feel about using Holocaust to describe AIDS or a burning building or what happened in Cambodia? And we'll get their reactions and then put those into about 500 usage notes that the dictionary contains.
So are you monitoring what people are already doing and using that as your usage note, or are you making new rules for what people should
be doing? Well, both. Nowadays, it's very easy because you've got all these database systems, so you just plug in a word that you're interested in, like moot was a word I was interested in the other day, and I just plugged it in, and I got about 500 citations for moot. But then what we're interested in is how people feel about that usage. You get something like impact as a verb, which a lot of people hate. So we either ask the panel, or we just say, you know, a lot of people don't like this word.
At the end of each of your commentaries, I announced that you're a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University. I'd really like to give you the opportunity to tell us what you do at Stanford.
Well, what I do at that institute and at another research institute I'm involved with is study a couple of things, sociolinguistics, which is the relationship of language to society. And there I do in a kind of technical way some of the things that I talk about in the commentaries I do on Fresh Air. And I also do work in semantics, just the study of meaning.
If someone where you teach uses a pointless bureaucratic expression, the kind of expression that you would criticize in one of your commentaries, would you mention that to them, or do you just make a mental note of it and store it away to comment on it some future date?
I spend a lot of time scribbling things down and saying nothing and bringing them up at some future date. One of the nice things about being able to do these commentaries is I get to let off steam about all these expressions without actually addressing anybody personally, which I think is slightly rude.
Do you find yourself judging people by how they speak?
Well, I find myself paying a lot of attention to the way people speak, often much to the distress of my wife and close friends. But I don't know if I judge people, unless they use impact as a verb. But you can... You can tell a lot about people from their accent, from their pitch and intonation, from their just the way they put things. Look, I was in Hermes yesterday in San Francisco, and there's a fella standing at the counter there, and he says, how much would these scarves be? Not how much are these scarves, but how much would these scarves be? Now, this is a guy who knows that these scarves are going to cost a lot more money than he's prepared to spend, and who also wants to give the impression that he's undisturbed by these prices. It's little things like that, just listening to the use of a what we call a modal verb like would or something, that really tip you off about people and attitudes, if you listen.
Okay. Well, Jeffrey, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Fresh Air's language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg spoke to us from NPR member station KQED in San Francisco. This is Fresh Air.